Chapter 28. Make certain that no suspicious strangers enter your premises. There was no sign of Clover in the stables, or the granary, or the pigsties, or places where she sometimes hunted for mice. I headed for the barn on the other side of the yard. The huge door creaked as I pushed it open. A shaft of light streamed into the dark interior. Somebody gasped. Molly and Frank were sitting on a hay bale by the wall, staring at the door. They looked terrified. Frank was gripping Molly's arm. When he saw me, he let out his breath in a sigh of relief. "Oh, thank goodness it's you." "What are you doing?" I asked. Frank shot Molly a guilty glance. "We thought we'd help look for Clover," said Molly. "Didn't we, Frank?" Anger flared inside me. Molly was so obviously lying. "And you thought you'd look for her by sitting on a bale," I said. They sprang to their feet. "Clover," called Molly, walking towards the tangle of farm machinery in the far corner. "Clover, are you there?" Frank hurried to a stack of empty grain sacks. "Clover," he called, lifting the top sack from the pile. "Clover, where are you?" "Maybe she's in the loft," said Molly. "I'll go and look." The hayloft was a wooden platform that ran along the width of the barn at the far end. Molly had her hand on the ladder when a voice said, "Excuse me?" We froze. Frank stared at Molly wide-eyed. It was a man's voice, and it seemed to have come from the loft. "Excuse me," said the voice again. It definitely came from the loft. "I'm sorry if I've shocked you, but are you looking for a cat?" We glanced at each other fearfully. "Who are you?" called Molly. "Come down from there." "I'm afraid I can't. I took shelter up here, but I've sprained my ankle and I can't walk. There's a black and white cat here. She's very friendly." "Is she yours?" "Clover," I called. "Clover, come down." Clover meowed, but she didn't appear. "Clover, go down," said the man coaxingly. "Go on." Clover meowed again. "I'm sorry," said the man. "She won't move and I can't move. You might have to come up and get her. I promise I won't bite." He sounded friendly enough. But what was a strange man doing in the hayloft? "Let's all go," Molly mouthed to me silently. I nodded. However much I despised her, I couldn't let her face the man alone. "We're coming up," she called. My heart thumped against my ribs as I climbed up behind her. The loft had a small window at one side, which gave it a little more light than the rest of the barn. As I reached the top of the ladder, my throat tightened, and my heart started racing as I saw a man in battle dress, sitting with his legs stretched out in front of him, leaning against the end wall. Curled up next to him in a heap of straw was Clover. I scooped her up and held her close to my chest, hoping her warmth would calm me. "Clover," I murmured, "I've been so worried about you." The soldier smiled at us. "So this is the cat you were looking for." There were scratches and bloodstains on his face. He just had socks on his feet. His boots were beside him, next to his army haversack. "I'm sorry if I shocked you," he said. "I was asleep, and then I was woken by your calling, and I guessed you must be looking for the cat. She's beautiful, and so friendly." "Who are you?" asked Frank. "Are you one of the soldiers from the park?" "I am." "But why are you in your barn? Why aren't you with your regiment?" "It's difficult to explain," said the man. "I'm not sure you would understand." "Of course we'd understand," said Molly indignantly. "We're not stupid." The man looked at us for a moment. Then he said, "If I tell you, can I trust you not to tell anybody?" Molly gave an outraged exclamation. "Oh, you've got a cheek. You're the one who's skulking around in our barn." "Your barn?" "Pretty much. My dad works on the estate and we live just over there." "Even so," said the man, "it is difficult to tell you why I'm here." "Tell us," said Frank, who was clearly bursting with curiosity. "We can keep a secret. We won't tell anyone, will we, Molly?" Molly screwed up her mouth and gave the man a hard look. "All right, we won't tell anyone." The man took a deep breath and paused for a few seconds, as if he didn't know how to begin. Then he said, "I've left my regiment, you see, and they might be looking for me." Frank gasped. "You're a deserter." No, no, I shall go back, but I need to visit my mother. I received a letter from her telling me she is very ill. My father is dead and she has nobody to care for her. She lives in a remote cottage with no neighbours. I must go and see her and make arrangements for her to be cared for. I'm worried that if I do not do so, she may die.
But wouldn't the army allow you to visit her if she's really ill? Said Molly.
It's a time of war. Things are not normal. I shall return as soon as I have made arrangements for my mother. But as you can see, it's important for me to remain hidden. Frank frowned.
But if you need to go and see your mother, why are you hiding in our barn?
That's the problem. I've injured myself. Look, I was running in the dark and I fell into a ditch.
He leaned forward and slowly pulled up his trouser leg. Then he rolled down his sock, wincing as he did so. I sucked in my breath. His ankle was swollen to twice the normal size and covered in a huge purple bruise. Frank looked stricken.
That must really hurt.
So you see, I cannot move at the moment, said the soldier. Molly crouched down to get a better look.
That looks really nasty. We should call the doctor.
No!
The words came out as a bark. Clover jumped out of my arms in shock. We stared at the man. He gave a forced smile.
I apologise, but you will understand that I cannot see a doctor. He would be bound to report me to my commanding officer. I must just rest here until my ankle improves. I think it's sprained, not broken. In a few days, perhaps, I shall be able to walk on it.
How did you get up to the loft? Asked Frank.
I pulled myself up the ladder on one leg. I fell into the ditch just outside the farmyard. I lay in the ditch until it grew light, and then I saw this barn and crawled here. The pain was bad then, but it is worse now.
You must be so hungry, said Molly, for whom lack of food was the most terrible calamity imaginable.
I am very hungry, and also very thirsty.
We can find you some food, said Frank, can't we, Molly?
I'm sure we can get you something, said Molly, but we won't be able to take too much, or Mum will notice. It'll be a lot easier if we could tell her.
No, said the man, shaking his head, don't tell your mother.
She wouldn't report you, I'm sure. If she heard your story, she'd understand, the same as we do.
The man sounded as though he was choosing his words carefully.
Your mother might not be as understanding as you children are. To many people, disobeying the order of one's superiors is a thing they would disapprove of. So, please, I would prefer it if you did not tell your parents. But if you could buy me some food, I would greatly appreciate it. I can pay.
He took a wallet from his pocket and handed Molly a pound note. I noticed a lot more notes in the wallet. Everyone said soldiers were well paid, but I hadn't realised they had that much money.
Bread would be good, and butter if possible, and some cheese or ham, and cigarettes.
Have you got your ration book? Asked Molly.
Oh, how silly of me. No, I don't have it. We won't be able to get you the butter or ham then, and it's a bit late to go to the shops today.
We'll get you some water now, and we can bring you some food from the house. Not too much, or Mum will notice, but enough for tonight. We'll go to the shops in the morning.
Thank you, he said. You are most kind.
What's your name? Asked Frank.
Peter, said the man. Peter Smith.
Goodbye, Peter Smith, said Frank. We'll be back soon.
Come on, Clover, I said. She was crouched by the wall on her guard, but when I picked her up, she settled happily into my arms and began to purr.
She's a lovely cat, said the man.
I said nothing. We went down the ladder in silence. I handed Clover to Frank while I climbed down and then took her back. It was so comforting to feel her warmth in my arms again. None of us spoke or looked at each other until we were on the other side of the farmyard. I felt the tightness in my chest relax a little. Frank hopped with excitement.
A real soldier in our barn, he whispered, and we're looking after him.
Shh, said Molly. You promised not to say anything.
But there's no one there, and I only whispered.
Even so, you never know who might be around. A sudden breeze made a stable door bang. Clover leapt out of my arms and raced back towards the barn. I ran after her.
Just leave her, said Molly. She'll come back when she wants to.
But I couldn't leave her.
I needed her solid, comforting presence. And I didn't want her getting too friendly with Peter Smith either. She was my cat. Not that I would have said that to Molly. We had left the barn door slightly ajar, and I slipped through the gap. My plimsolls made no sound on the dirt floor. I heard noises from the loft, as though the man was rummaging in his haversack. He muttered to himself. My stomach turned over. No, it couldn't be. I must have heard wrong. I stayed completely still, listening, my heart thumping. He was still rummaging, but he had stopped muttering. Something rolled across the loft and dropped over the edge onto the barn floor. The man swore. My blood froze in my veins. He had sworn in German.